Blog
Welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dial Lanier. I'm your host, Dr. Lanier, coming to you from Gainesville, Florida, as I do every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information about me and the services I offer, please go to my website, www.drdiallanier.com, and that's www.drdiallanier.com for more information. And as I mentioned, we do hold the show every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, today's topic is work up a sweat, muscle up, and stretch it out. So what we're covering today is frequently asked questions about exercise. Now, last week we talked about food labels and nutrition facts, and we gave detailed information on how to read the labels, how to compare the labels on products in order to plan a balanced diet and to cut down on fat, salt, and sugar for better health. And today I want to focus specifically on physical activity and answering frequently asked questions about exercise in general. So without further ado, let's just jump right in. The first question is, how can physical activity improve my health? A common one, I think people want to know, well, how is this going to help me before I jump right in? And we have talked about that before. But just to highlight some of the important things, being physically active is going to lower your risk of getting certain diseases like heart disease, lower your risk of stroke, high blood pressure, certain cancers like breast and colon cancer, as well as prostate cancer, as well as type 2 diabetes, arthritis, and things like that. It's also going to help control joint pain and stiffness if you already have arthritis. It reduces feelings of mild to moderate anxiety and depression and improves your mood, increases your sense or feeling of well-being, we talked about a couple weeks ago, as well as help you handle stress a little better, help control your weight or lose weight, as well as increase your energy and endurance and to help you sleep better. So those are some benefits of physical activity. The next question is, how much physical activity should I do? And that we have also covered, and it does vary. The overall recommendation to reduce the risk of some of the diseases or conditions I mentioned would be to do 30 minutes five or more days a week of moderate intensity physical activity, and that's for adults. If you're doing more vigorous activity, you can do the same amount or 20 minutes would be good as well. And for children, that should be an hour or more a day on most days. And if you're an adult who's wanting to lose weight, that you should also increase it up to an hour, and that's on average. That would be a good amount of physical activity to try to set as a goal for you to do. Next, does the type of physical activity I choose matter? It sure does. You should want to, or you should engage in different types of physical activity. It's important for your overall physical fitness. So any fitness routine that you have should include aerobic activities, strength training activities, which could include resistance or weights, as well as stretching activities. Now, with aerobics, you're going to move your large muscles in your arms and your legs and your hips over and over again, and as well as increase your heart rate and your breathing rate as well. So things like walking would be considered aerobic. Strength training activities are going to increase your strength and the health of your muscle and your bones. and then stretching improves your flexibility. Now, those are the three things that you want to cover, but also what's important, I also have mentioned, is to make sure that you warm up and cool down. Now, what exactly is the point of warming up and cooling down? Warm up, which is what you should do before you exercise, warm up is going to prepare your body for the exercise that you're about to do, and it reduces your chance of injury. So a warm up should be a combination of rhythmic exercise, so some kind of movement that's slower than what you're going to be doing as your aerobic activity, and it's going to be at the rate that begins to raise your heart rate and which begins to raise the temperature in your muscle. It should also include stretching, gentle stretching through a full range of motion for different muscle groups. It should try to include all of them. The rhythmic exercise I mentioned should be a slower version of the aerobic activity that you're about to do. So, for example, if you're going to be jogging, you'd want to walk before you jog. If you're walking, you want to start out walking kind of slow, maybe 1 mile an hour, and then go on to 3 or 4 miles an hour, which is walking briskly. If you're running, you might want to start out walking or jogging, so something like that. And you always want to remember to stretch all of your muscles, full range of motion, and especially your lower back if you're doing any kind of lateral movement, of your upper body or side bends. You want to make sure you cover that. The cool down is similar. After the aerobic activity, so after you've covered, getting your heart rate up and also doing some kind of strength or resistance, the cool down, like when you're doing that, the blood in your body is pooled in your extremities and your heart rate is elevated or high. So the purpose of the cool down is to bring your heart rate back down to near normal and to get the blood circulating freely back to your heart. So if you are, say, in aerobics class and you're in there, jumping around doing the aerobic activity, and then you just leave out of the class before you've done the cool down, that actually can place an undue stress on your heart. Your body needs that cool down period. So in addition, what that can be is rhythmic movement or movement that's slower than the activity you just got finished doing. And it also should include stretching to help relax your muscles, which have been working hard during the exercise, and which is going to improve the flexibility. And also cooling down or stretching afterwards may help prevent delayed onset muscle soreness as well, which can be seen if you don't do that, and actually can be a deterrent if you've ever come across that, like you're so sore you don't want to do it again. So stretching and cooling down can help prevent that. Next question, how can I prevent injuries when I work out? Being physically active in general is going to be safe as long as you're taking precautions. So some steps to prevent injury would be if you're not active at all or if you have a health problem, you want to start out your program with short sessions. So 5 to 10 minutes of physical activity and then build up gradually to your goal. Also, if you have a health condition, you want to consult your physician before starting any kind of physical activity program. Another tip to prevent injury would be to use appropriate safety equipment. So if you are riding a bike, you want to make sure you have a helmet on. If you're a child, if you have a child that's also riding a bike, they should have a helmet. Or if they're doing, a scooter or a skateboard, rollerblades or skates, not only a helmet, but also wrist guards to prevent injury to their wrist, as well as knee pads. I am definitely that mom. I'll have you out there in full gear, wrist pads, knee pads, elbow pads. I'll go around looking like a big cushion, but just to be safe. But I think those are important to have. Also, if you're walking, you want to make sure you have an appropriate walking shoe. And if you're jogging or running, you should also have a shoe that is good for that, a sneaker, I should say, athletic shoe. So I think that in those cases, you should be fitted for that. A couple of years ago, I ran a 4-mile run, and I actually went to be fitted for a sneaker, and I think it was an excellent experience because they can look. You want to go where someone can watch you walk. They can see, about your gait. They can look and see if you're pronating or turning your foot in. They can evaluate your arch to see if you have a high arch or a flattened arch and get you the appropriate equipment that you would need in your shoe to help protect your foot and to make exercising a great experience by preventing injury in those areas. I mentioned warming up and cooling down. Another important tip would be to drink plenty of fluids when you're physically active and not just when you're thirsty. If you are thirsty and you're like, oh, I guess I should drink, that you're already kind of behind the eight ball really on your fluids. You want to remain or keep your body hydrated as opposed to rehydrating your body afterwards. It's a subtle difference, but you want to make sure that you're drinking fluids, and I prefer water before you work out, while you're working out, and then afterwards. You want to make sure you're hydrated. If it's an intense workout, then if you're losing lots of body salts through sweat, then sometimes, I see other drinks that you can have, but, a lot of the sports drink has sugar in it, and I don't think that there's any excess benefit for that. So I really like water in those situations. Also, if you're outside, you want to make sure you have sunscreen on to protect you from the UVA and UVB rays that can cause premature aging as well as, skin cancer. When you're doing the movement, so whether you're doing aerobic activity or stretching or doing strength training, you want to make sure that you're watching your body in space. So if you're bending forward, you want to bend from the hips and not your waist. You want to make sure that your back is flat with movements like that, not kind of hunched or humped over. And if you're doing a knee bend, you want to make sure that your knee, it's hard to talk about without you see, I'm doing it, but you can't see me, but you want to make sure that your knee does not come past your toes. You want that to stay solid so that you don't put unnecessary strain on your knee joint. Also, if you're being active and if at any time you're feeling out of breath or dizzy or nauseous, or if you're having pain that's severe anywhere, and especially in your chest, which it would also include tightness anywhere of that nature, or if you feel faint, you want to make sure you stop the activity right away and talk to your doctor about it. So exercise should make us feel good and give us energy. It should not hurt or make you excessively tired. So if you're having, a little bit of soreness, a little discomfort, sometimes that comes with it. I'll talk about that in another question in a minute, but it should not be intense pain. That is something to be evaluated. So another one, if I am overweight, can I be physically active? Yes, you can. You may face certain challenges in trying to be physically active. You may not be able to move or bend in the same way that other people can. But definitely it's going to be better. Any amount of physical activity is better than none at all, and it's important for your health. So you can, and in situations like that, it's great to work with somebody to find out what works for you. It's also important to make sure you're listening to your body. It's a fine line between pushing and challenging yourself a little bit, but then listening to your body if something you're doing is really uncomfortable. You should take note of that. Also, activities like swimming or exercising while seated can put less strain on your joints because your legs aren't supporting the weight of your body, so that can help as well. There was actually an answer to a question I found on womenshealth.gov from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Office on Women's Health, about how to stay active if you have a disability. And while a disability can make it harder to stay active, it shouldn't stop you. In most cases, people with disabilities can improve their flexibility and mobility and coordination by becoming physically active. And if you're physically active on a regular basis, that can help keep you independent and by preventing illnesses that, like heart disease or diabetes, that can make caring for yourself more difficult. So definitely important to make sure that you're physically active in a way that works for you. Okay, moving right along. Oh, this is a good question. What causes the pain in my side that occurs suddenly while I am running, and how can I prevent it? That pain is actually referred to as a side stitch or a stitch in the side. That was actually a very good question, and I found a great answer on the American Council of Exercise page. Basically, there's no clear-cut explanation that's been offered regarding that painful burning situation that can occur in the upper portion of your abdominal wall on your side, which is basically, you know, in the area that's underneath or below your rib cage. It's been hypothesized that the side stitch pain is caused by jarring and pulling on the ligaments that attach the stomach to the diaphragm, but you know, that's just kind of a estimated best guess. Anyone who's ever had a side stitch has probably tried several methods to relieve that pain, and everyone's different, but they have observed some methods that may be effective in relieving that side stitch pain. The first is reducing the exercise intensity level until the pain subsides. So if you're running, you might want to come down to a jog. If you're jogging, you might want to come down to a walk. If you're walking briskly, you might want to slow it down. You know, whatever you're doing, if you reduce the intensity level until that pain subsides, that can be helpful. Also, breathing deeply through pursed lips can help, or tightening the abdominal muscles while you're bending forward. So you can't really prevent that pain from occurring, but you can reduce the likelihood of experiencing the pain by exercising at an intensity level that matches your fitness level, and then gradually increasing how hard you work out as your fitness level improves. That's a good way to reduce the chances of having that come on. Here's another one. What is a second wind? No matter how fit or physically fit you are, the first few minutes into vigorous exercise, you're going to feel a little out of breath, and your muscles may ache a little bit. Your body isn't able to transport oxygen to the active muscles quickly enough in that situation. So as a result, your muscles burn carbohydrates anaerobically instead of aerobically, which is with oxygen. And what that causes in it is an increase in lactic acid production or lactic acid buildup, and that's that muscle achiness. So gradually, your body makes that transition from anaerobic to aerobic metabolism and then begins to burn nutrients like carbohydrates and fats aerobically or with oxygen. So as you make that shift over to aerobic metabolism, that coincides with you getting back in stride, or the second wind, and so that's where that comes from. The more you train and exercise and the more physically fit you become, the sooner you'll get your breath back and reach that aerobic steady state that you can maintain for longer and longer periods of time. So that's the answer to that one. In case you're just joining me, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are talking about frequently asked questions about exercise. And the next question is, should I exercise when I have aches and pains? Muscle soreness or discomfort that occurs about 24 to 48 hours after exercise is normal, especially if the exercise that you've been doing was of a high intensity or vigorous exercise, or if you were doing something like running downhill or resistance or weight training, or, you know, landing after jumping, something like that. Or if you're doing an activity that you're unaccustomed to performing, you can see a little bit of muscle soreness and discomfort. The proper response to that type of pain or discomfort is to rest, followed by continued moderate exercise and stretching, and it's important to have both. There are, however, situations or occasions when the pain or discomfort is more troublesome and can be a sign of a real problem. And the following basic warning signals can help you figure out if the pain you're having warrants stopping the exercise and or medical attention. And the first would be joint pain or discomfort. Joint pain of any kind, any type or severity should not be brushed off or ignored. If you're having pain in your ankle or your knee or elbow or wrist joints, that's really concerning because those joints are not covered by muscles, and so, you know, it's rarely going to be related to the muscle, you know, a muscle-related type of pain. So that's something to have checked out. Localized pain or discomfort. If your pain is occurring in a specific location, it's likely an early indicator of some type of injury, especially if you don't have it on the same side of your body. If it's just on one side, that would be a reason to consult a doctor. Persistent pain or discomfort. So if you're having a pain that's going on longer than 2 weeks or getting worse instead of getting better, you would want to see a healthcare professional, especially if that pain isn't responding to standard treatment methods like rest, ice, and over-the-counter pain remedies like ibuprofen, or which is trade names would be Motrin or Advil, or acetaminophen, and a trade name of that is Tylenol. Also, if you have swelling around the area of pain, that definitely should not be ignored. Or if the pain disturbs your normal routine. So if you it's getting in the way of your sleep pattern, or if it's interfering with your activities of daily living, that's a strong indicator that there may be a more serious problem and you should definitely have it checked out. So the bottom line with this is that you should avoid trying to push and work through pain. I remember it used to be no pain, no gain mantra, but I really think that's outdated because pain is a way that our body communicates with us that there is a problem, and we want to act on that before that problem goes on to become an injury. Important to do that. Is it better to break my exercise sessions up or exercise for a longer period? Honestly, I think any form of exercise is going to be great. Whatever works for you, really, in situations like that. If it's better for you to do it all at once because you have the time and the inclination, then by all means, go for it and get it in there. By the same token, the time of the day that you do it is what works best for you. If you're a morning person, great, do it then. If it's more of an evening workout that you prefer, then do it then. And if you're more of a, I'm going to walk with my coworkers on my lunch break, then whenever you feel energetic and mentally prepared to get in some physical activity, I think you should go for it. One of the reasons this question came up was not so much in reducing your risk and kind of improving your fitness level, but also in reducing weight. There were two thoughts on that. The first is it takes about 15 to 20 minutes for your metabolism to get into the fat burning zone that many people desire when they're doing aerobic workouts. Once you reach that level, your body tends to obtain more of its energy from fat rather than carbohydrates, so you're burning fat. So if you are working out for longer, then your body will stay in that fat-burning zone for longer, and that logic supports a single longer workout. On the other hand, another way to look at it would be for 6 or so hours after you work out, your body remains in an afterburn mode, so burning calories, more calories at rest than it would have had you not worked out. So if you think of it in terms of that, if you do two sessions as part of a day, then you'll have even more time in that afterburn mode than if you do a single workout session. So I think there's an argument for either one, but I say whenever you feel the inclination, then just go for it. The next question: should I use a steam sauna or hot tub right after a workout? Since the blood tends to pool in your extremities after a vigorous workout, things like steams, saunas, hot tubs, and even hot showers are going to tend to dilate your blood vessels. And when your blood vessels are dilated, that causes even more pooling in your extremities or where the blood is. So that's actually not the best thing it makes it more difficult for the blood to reach and return to your heart and your brain. It's important in that case that if you've done an aerobic workout and you've done a thorough cool down where you've made sure that body comes back from your extremities back towards your heart and it was adequate so that you're waiting till you've returned to almost normal, then I think it's okay to do those things. You definitely don't want to, like, fresh off your workout where you're still sweating, and if you're panting, you don't want to just jump right into a sauna. I wouldn't really recommend that. But if you're almost normal and you want to do that, I think it's okay. But if you feel any sign of weakness or dizziness or lightheadedness, you want to make sure that you get out of that right away. Next question, how soon and how much should I eat after an aerobic workout? If you feel like eating immediately after a workout, you want to make sure that it's something that's high in complex carbohydrates, with a little bit of protein added and very low or no fat content. It's important for those carbs to be mostly complex because that's where we can get energy from. So something like whole grain pasta, a fat-free granola bar, something, you know, that has complex carbs in it with a little protein is going to be good. And you don't want it to be a whole lot of calories after, just a few to take the edge off. Or some vegetables with a little bit of fat-free ranch is also a different option. If your workout is pretty intense, you might want to wait about an hour or so before you eat a full meal. Most people don't want to sit down to big old meal right after they've been sweating and breathing heavily. But after you've cooled down, you know, showered, mellowed out, had some water, then it's fine to make sure you have a meal that's great and whole, that has a lot of complex carbs, like whole wheat toast or something of that nature, just anything with complex carbs that's going to be healthy, as well as a little bit of protein and not much fat. Okay, and the last question is, what are some tips to help me get moving and fit exercise into a busy schedule? I think that we touched on it a little bit about getting exercise in small doses if you're able to. If you can't set aside a big block of time, then short activities throughout the day, like 10 minutes at a time, 3 10-minute walks, will be a great way to make sure you get exercise in somehow. Also, parking your car farther away from where you're headed, or if you're riding a bus or train, getting off 1 to 2 stops early and walking. You might want to try walking or biking to work or to the store or to school if it's a child, if they're able, using the stairs instead of an elevator or an escalator. And to take breaks. So if you're at work and you just want to take a stretch break, a little chair yoga moment or a quick walk, something active at that time is good too. If you want to walk when you talk, a lot of people are on cell phones these days, so if you want to walk while you're talking, that's great. Or doing yard work and housework are good as well. You want to make sure that those are activities that you enjoy doing, and you want to switch things up every now and again so you won't get bored. So if you are walking or jogging, you might want to switch up the paths that you take, or you might want to, you know, ride your bike one day or work out at the gym one day and walk another day. And then when you're reaching goals that you set for yourself, whether it's a weight loss goal, or more importantly, it's like, I was physically active for, 30 minutes every day or most days. If I ate a healthy diet this whole week, you might want to give yourself a little reward, like go to a movie, have a bubble bath, something of that nature. And if you have children, it's a great time to play with them outside. And that works for just playing with the kids by yourself. And you could do my favorite, the dancing, which I absolutely love. And also, if you have a pet, that's a great amount of exercise, is by going and walking your pet or playing with your pet outside. And if all of you can get out there, children and pet, if you have them, that's great as well. So I hope the answers to those frequently asked exercise questions are helpful to you, and that you can found something that, if you had a question you were wondering about, for me, the stitching aside was a good one. hopefully that was helpful for you. We will actually be off next week. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And when we come back, I want to go over for the New Year healthy holiday eating tips. And our next show, we will talk about conventional versus organic foods and what should we be eating. I just want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Please be sure to tune in not next week, but on the 31st of December. And I look forward to speaking with you then. Until I'm talking to you next time, be sure to remember, be healthy and God bless. Take care.